Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What's the key to a quick and fun travel escape? Enjoy public art outside, or outsider art inside, and refresh your sense of history with awe-inspiring parks and museums. Vicksburg is the key to the South.
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew. Want to thank our sponsors over at Pip Printing and Signs. Reliable service for every business need. That's the slogan. The meaning is whatever the message of your business is, whatever you want your customers to believe, whichever you want your customers to know about your business, Pip Printing and Signs has a plan to get that message out there, and they've been doing it for 30-plus years. Don't take my word for it, all right? 30 years of experience kind of speaks for itself, but just go to their website, pipridgeland.com, and see exactly what it means to be a Pip Printing and Signs customer and see the variety that they offer you in terms of marketing materials, in terms of signage, graphics, everything your business needs to get the message out there. Call Cam Baker today, 601-499-5216. Tell him you heard about him on Thunder and Lightning. When you need printing, call Pip Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for, and you are looking for it. You need new gear, they've got it at College Corner. They've got the logos that you want, and they've got the styles that you are looking for. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flow by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best place in town is Restaurant Tyler. This Sunday, I'm a great Sunday to have brunch. Every Sunday in Starkville is a great Sunday to have brunch, but the one at Restaurant Tyler is the one that puts it over the top. And if you haven't been there yet, well, then you are just missing out. So this weekend, any weekend you're in Starkville, make sure a trip to Restaurant Tyler is on the agenda. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Let them show you exactly what it is that you are missing out on. Let them show you how they're going to help you invest, how they're going to help you manage your money, how they are going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, it is so important to be able to talk to people that you can trust and get answers quickly when you're talking about your money. Priority One Bank is what's going to offer you that opportunity. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Mississippi State 35, Texas. No, that's not right. That's not right at all. Boy, I wish it was. All right. Yeah. This isn't number one on things that is true, but it would have been. So we'll just change it around a little bit. Number one thing that is true, we wish South Texas Dog had been right. Yeah. We do wish that. But
we would have gladly taken our medicine on that.
I would have gone to an all-you-can-eat crow buffet. I wouldn't have had a problem with it.
Apparently, he believes that we want Mississippi State to lose.
Well, that's a Gene's Page thing, right?
It is.
Very much.
We must be rebels.
I've been dealing with that since April of 2003. So just
we're just rebels.
I'm just used to it at this point. But Texas 35, Mississippi State 13, a 22-point spread, and you think, oh wow, they didn't really have it. They played about as good as they could have. I think if you were to look at college football in terms of efficiency, if you're looking like they got the most out of they got everything they could have gotten, State would have been pretty close to that, I feel, and yet it's still good for a 3-touchdown loss. So there's some positives, there's some negatives. You know, take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have. It was 35-13. So,
the facts of life.
The facts of life. Yep. So we don't have a Mrs. Garrett. So we'll have to get our wisdom from someone else. Who could that person be? Tell them, Falk.
Well, yeah. Well,
yeah, I fear that we're not going to get the good. Hawk well.
It's probably not coming this year.
We'll see.
But, we might have one or two.
Yeah,
we could. But we just, you say you take the good, take the bad, and all that. Mm-hmm. we talked back in the summer, best case scenarios for all these games.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our best case scenarios was Texas staying in the ball game for most of the way, scoring a couple of touchdowns, having some exciting things on offense to talk about, and, you know, putting up a fight in the game. They just about accomplished that, I thought, on Saturday against Texas. It never felt like they were just totally overwhelmed until maybe that possession in the fourth quarter where they had back-to-back delays of game. And that drive was kind of one of the few times in the game that I thought the offense just looked completely overwhelmed. Mm. And I think the crowd might have got to them. There was some miscommunication, things like that. But for the most part, I felt like State went in there and accomplished what they needed to do. Show that you still have a pulse. Show that you're trying to move forward with the team that you have. And see some good things from Michael Van Buren. And I thought that they did all of that. I thought the defense played extremely hard. They still were completely overmatched. I mean, there's no doubt about that. It was, you know, men against boys out there on in four quarters for the most part. And, you know, trying to defend their wide receivers, it just wasn't even fair. I thought from a game plan perspective, playing hard perspective, you know, just having that effort that they needed, I thought that was there. They came out there, like Jeff Lebby said, you know, he wants to see a team that's excited to play the game. I thought they did that. And I thought you can really take away a lot of positives from this game. Nobody wants moral victories. Nobody wants Mississippi State to be excited about losing by 22 points in the SEC.
Right.
Nobody wants that.
Right.
But, buddy, I've seen a lot of games against the number one team in the country where Mississippi State couldn't get first downs,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, Mississippi State couldn't get off the field defensively, where State lost 63-3 or something, you know, against teams like Alabama. You can put Texas in the same tier as some of those teams that you've played in the past that were, you know, top five that you just were overwhelmed against. Alabama, LSU, Georgia. This team is just as talented as a lot of those teams. This team is a national contender just like those teams. And State looked like a competent SEC team against them. I count that as a win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first quarter, staying within a touchdown, that was a win. At halftime, being down 14-6, that was a win. Even in the third quarter, you're still in the ball game. You're down by two touchdowns.
Right.
It never felt like State was just getting absolutely, you know, blown out. And I think that's something that they can carry on now in the next couple of weeks. This bye week is going to be really good for them because they have a ton of injuries. Isaac Smith should be 100% ready to return, I imagine. No telling what he would have done in this game. I mean, you might have another possession or two where you gave up a touchdown, where you got off the field. That's your best defensive player. So this game might look totally different with him in the ball game, and that's a good thing for State. So, you know, it was another loss. It's their fourth straight. But I think that this was exactly what you wanted to see from Mississippi State coming out of that ball game.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. 100%. That as you can only take so much out of a loss. In my opinion, there's only so much juice for the squeeze, but State got as much of it as they could. And they somehow, in a, I don't know how they did it, but in a 22-point defeat where they were never truly felt like they were in, even when they were only down one, you were like, ah, they're not winning this game.
Right.
Somehow they gave their fans hope.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tough to do, but they did it. So we'll go with that. We'll go with that this week. All right, let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council. Who want to remind you, the beef, it is what's for dinner. Anytime you're cooking out, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. If you're not cooking out, if you're saying, hey, let's go out tonight, there are so many great steakhouses in this state of ours, you just can't go wrong with any of them. So I'm encouraging you this week, whenever you're thinking about a meal, think about beef. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place for smoked Southern soul food. It's been a couple weeks since I've been to Two Brothers, so I guess I'll have to go there this week, Robbie. You want to go? You want to go to Two
Darn.
Brothers this week?
Yeah, I guess we might as well.
We might as well. It's such a chore. It's such a chore for us to do it, but yeah, we will do it. We'll probably have to go to the older brother again soon, too. I mean, we just there last week, so the clock's ticking on that one, too.
Another Dorn.
I just don't know what I'm going to do having to eat at all these good restaurants, Robbie. I just don't know. So I would encourage you guys to have the same problems that Robbie and I do and try to make as many trips to Two Brothers and the older brother as you possibly can. Whether you want the smoked Southern soul food or you want a fancy sandwich. I really want to see some fancy sandwich t-shirts, by the way.
Yes.
Like if I could get a t-shirt that says the older brother, Starkville, Mississippi, and on the back it says fancy sandwiches. I mean, I would buy one. So I don't know if it's a million-dollar idea, but it's at least a $29.99 idea because I'll pay you $30 for a t-shirt.
Yeah. I have done it before.
And I'll do it again.
Yes.
We get that t-shirt and we get the one that was designed for us, the Robbie as Angus Young pork rind nachos t-shirt.
We need that like we need air.
I need it.
We got to get some merch.
I know. All right, we'll work on that. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it now for 50 years.
50!
Wherever you are in our great state, if you are looking for business technology, if you need a new copy or a new printer, you call Advantage Business Systems. And then, if something goes wrong, and then, look, these are machines, man. Something's going to go wrong. Heck, you just never know. Somebody might just spill their coffee on it. And you need service? It's just a phone call away. And it's the same number. You don't have to call a 1-800 number. You don't have to be on hold for 45 minutes. You don't have to wait a week to 10 days for some out-of-state technician. It's a Mississippi business taking care of you. So let them have your business. 601-362-9192. Or you can visit them online, absms.com. Find out Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to the game this weekend, well, not this weekend, but other weekends, you can go to Maroon & Co. When you're in Starkville and you need Mississippi State gear, Maroon & Co. is the place to find it. They've got a selection that nobody else has. And I don't say that like, you know, some places tell you. Some places say, we've got a great selection. And it's the same stuff you can find everywhere. Maroon & Co. has stuff you cannot get anywhere else. So check them out. And use our promo code, THUNDER15, to save 15% off any purchase, regular price items. Some exclusions will apply before you go to the games. Let's go to Maroon & Co. I'm going to turn on the fan real quick. So we're going to be like a quick 10-second silence. Unless Robbie wants to talk. It's somehow hotter in here than it is outside. This office is weird.
A lot of hot air being spewed.
That might be the problem.
Yep.
That might be the problem. Oh, it's not even pointing at me. Jeez.
Oh, they got the... Who did that?
People just come in
people
here
People come in this
and
office and they do whatever
things.
They want. I came in yesterday, started to do my post game. Camera was facing that way.
How is this happening?
Like, how are they... What? Don't touch... I'm going to leave a sticker on there for Friday night.
Are they
night
scared some... Is the person that's in here scared someone's watching them?
I don't know,
think?
Man, but I'm going to put on there, like, don't touch. Don't touch.
And you need to put some tape on your motherboard.
I'm going to tape a mouse trap to it or something.
Just like have like right. that thing like if you like it shocks you if you touch it.
Yeah. Sort of like last week, although it's not as angry, but not a lot of things that are true this week. We really are going to hit on some big picture stuff. And of course, the things that are true are brought to you by the good folks over at Bell Building Supply. Yesterday, Robbie was over at my house along with some of our friends, had a great cookout, and the Big Green Egg was taking care of all of that for us, and it can take care of that for you. They are the platinum Big Green Egg dealer here in the Golden Triangle. If you are looking to get the top of the line, the best cooking apparatus there is to have, the Big Green Egg, you need to talk to the good guys over at Bell Building Supply. And hey, if you're already an egg owner and you need accessories, you need charcoal, or you just need stuff around the house, Bell Building Supply has been serving the Starkville community for decades. So go check them out over there on Lampkin Street. Bell Building Supply, the Golden Triangle's platinum Big Green Egg dealer. All right, we got five things that are true. Just five. But I think they're good. So we'll go with it from here.
I'm going to say something you're going to say. Okay. We're getting to that.
All right. We'll see. We'll see how we do. All right, we'll see if today is a day where we can finish each other's
sandwiches.
Yes. Oh, I could go for a sandwich. Number one, I will ride with Michael Van Buren. I saw enough to let me think. You know what I like the most about him? Down 28-6. Hasn't really done much offensively all day. Has been okay, but knows that his team's not going to win the game. Breaks in for a long touchdown run, and then immediately throws a horns down at a Texas fan. That's the kind of scumbag swagger I need from my quarterback.
I normally don't like that.
I loved it in this instant.
And to be honest, I thought he played a really good game up to that. He had some drop passes. His offensive line let him down a lot of times. I didn't see a whole lot from him that I was like, this kid ain't ready. Like, he looks like he's ready. And you can definitely see what Jeff Lebby sees out of this kid as his quarterback. And it's not the quarterback for the future anymore. This is your quarterback now. And if things go as planned, I don't know what happens with Blake Chapin after the season, because this is like a, you know, this could be like a Dak Prescott moment where this guy comes in and takes over.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think he's that kind of quarterback. He's got all the talent that you want in this offense. And I thought he played a really good game.
Yeah.
I could have easily had, like, over 225 yards passing. Like, he had two big pass plays where the receivers just dropped the ball. Yeah. Mosley and Craver dropped.
And then the thing with Parson, like, if you're going to change – I always say this. If you're going to change quarterbacks, quarterback one and quarterback two need to be different.
Yeah.
Right? Don't change quarterbacks. If quarterback two has the same skill set as quarterback one – why are we changing quarterbacks? So those running plays, I understand maybe you're trying to be a little careful, you know, with Van Buren. Just let him run.
Yeah.
Just let him run.
But he's got to be, like, ultra careful.
They got to be careful.
Like, he cannot take too many hits.
I agree with that, because he doesn't have the size.
Yeah.
Parsons a little bit bigger, but...
there wouldn't be a ton of design runs for me with Michael Van Buren.
Yeah, I get that. But at the same time, you don't want... that's a part of the offense. I don't have a huge issue with it. But whatever we're saying, going forward, Michael Van Buren is the quarterback of the future for this program, I think. Now, you know, you never know in this thing.
It can change.
It could change. But I'm willing to ride it out and go into – if you told me next year that you're going to go into the season with Michael Van Buren as your starting quarterback, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
So far, I mean, this doesn't – like – and I love Chris Parson, but he's already outplayed what Parson did last year.
Yeah.
Like, Parson showed some glimpses last year, but the – you know, just the production really wasn't there. He actually went on the road yesterday and I thought commanded the offense well – for four quarters and had a really good ball game.
Based off of what we just saw, Michael Van Buren should be the freshman All-SEC quarterback.
Yeah.
He was better
like
than
Chris Parson. State might have
back-to-back
All-SEC freshman.
That's hilarious. Number two, what's something we say on this show a lot is coaches who would rather lose their way than win somebody else's way. I thought Lebby deciding to slow it down, to not play that hyper-tempo, to really try to limit possessions and play the time of possession game, that's not Jeff Lebby's style.
Mm-mm.
I thought that was a great sign for the future with Jeff Lebby. There's no way you could have convinced me. Mike Leach was never going to change his style. Never. Zach Arnett, what style? Didn't have a style to change. Moorhead couldn't change his style. Lebby doesn't like to play slow. He wants to get to the line. He wants to go fast. He knew with a freshman quarterback and facing the kind of challenge his team faced yesterday that he couldn't do that, so he changed the game plan. That's a great sign for me. That is very, very encouraging.
Well, that was the game plan we were talking about on the 3Ps the other day.
Yeah.
I was mentioning, like, you got to keep this defense off the field, and you need to play ball control offense. You need to be able to establish the run. The game plan worked really well. Now, it didn't lead to a bunch of points. And that's fine, but we go back to the first possession. They turned it over on downs, and we both said at your house when that happened, that was a win. It was like a 7-minute possession.
Yeah.
It was like 14 plays. You changed field position a little bit. That was a win. That possession was a win. So he understood yesterday, like, this is just different kind of circumstances. You had a freshman quarterback in there. You got a defense that has trouble stopping a nosebleed. You had to have control of the ball game from a possession standpoint, and they had that. There was, I think, two real possessions, not counting the possession before halftime. There was like two real possessions where State went three and out or like only had three plays. They had a three and out on a possession. I think it was their second possession of the game, and then they fumbled the football after getting a fumble, and that was on a three-play drive.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of their drives, I believe, they had a first down on all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, going back to, you know, in the past, even with Dan Mullen, State would go to Alabama or Georgia or places like that, they couldn't even get a first down.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to move the ball with consistency yesterday with their game plan and was really impressed with being able to run the football the way that they did. They had almost 200 yards on the ground before sacks. Mm-hmm. And the sacks took away almost 50 yards. But they... and on designed runs, they had almost 200 yards rushing. That was a win for Mississippi State, and I think really good sign. I agree with you. Like, Jeff Lebby is a guy that's – he will change with what he sees.
Yeah. Number three. It seems like there's a new culprit every week. It's like every week I'm like, this is why they lost. One week it's run defense. One week it's you know, this. This week is the offensive line. I don't like that there's a new culprit every week, by the way. I wish I could just say every week it's this.
Yeah.
I know what I thought coming into the season I was going to be able to do. I'm gonna be like, it's just the defense.
And I think that has been kind of a common theme. It's like the offensive line has just been...
I just feel like it's gone... Oh, I'm sorry. You were going a different way than I thought. Go ahead. I want you to go ahead.
But what way were you going?
I thought you were about to say... It has kind of gone that way. It has been the defense every week. But you turned on me there. At the last second, you pulled off.
On the offensive line?
Yeah.
Yeah, the offensive line has been a weakness for Mississippi State this year.
It has.
But
we were way off on that. I'm surprised at how off we were.
I thought that it would take a few games for them to mesh.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it's going to happen at this point. Like, I thought it would just take a few games for them to mesh and then we'd get it together.
Mm-hmm.
But now I don't have confidence in it. I mean... Yeah. There's a flaw in all five guys that I see up front, and specifically left tackle, center, you're struggling a lot. You know, Albert Reese wasn't great yesterday at right tackle, and I don't know if it was the noise or what. It seemed like they were jumping the snap and were past him, and he couldn't even get out of stance.
We made the comment to each other that it looked like the defense knew the snap count and the offense didn't.
It definitely was a deal where, like, I think State was rattled up front. Like, there was some confusion with them yesterday because they had four delay of game penalties. And, I mean, that's going to happen. You have a freshman quarterback in his first start, things like that. But, the offensive line is an issue specifically in pass blocking. I think the run blocking I feel like everybody's kind of piling on the offensive line, but the run blocking has improved. It's strange. Like, the pass blocking's regressed, I think, and the run blocking's gotten better because you've essentially had two straight games of 200 yards rushing. I know they didn't quite reach it yesterday, but if you look at the design runs, you were almost at 200 yards, and that was against a really good run defense. That wasn't against Florida. So I do want to give them their flowers on that. I think they've gotten better run blocking, but the pass blocking yesterday was not good. And that's definitely an issue.
I agree. The O-line, they got a lot of work to do. But the good news is, after next week, the quality of they will face Tennessee's D-line, which is maybe the best in the country.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, you've got some D-lines that maybe you could have a little success against. Number four, the defense was better. But what is that saying? They gave up 500 yards and 35 points, but they were better.
Yeah.
They are just brutally bad. And I'll tell you this. I've said this a couple weeks ago. The scheme against Florida was awful. Really, really bad. This week, they had some guys in position a lot of times, and they just can't make tackles.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. I still put that on coaching. Because tackling is a coaching thing. You got to practice tackling.
It's a fundamental thing.
It's a fundamental thing. If your team's a bad tackling team, it means you're poorly coached. So I'm not giving Hutzler any credit for anything here. But they did enough. They forced a couple of turnovers. They got a couple of stops. If offense had, and again, I don't want to blame the offense, right, for that. Their freshman quarterback, a lot of injuries, they're playing the number one team in the nation. I didn't really expect a ton of points. But if you get that defensive effort against not the number one team in the nation, if you get that kind of defensive effort against Arkansas, against Texas A&M, against Ole Miss, you might have a chance. You might have a chance in those games.
Yeah. You just have to scheme it up and just hope for the best. I mean, yeah. There was a play yesterday where John Lewis had it blown up, like 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Right.
And just completely missed him.
He's been a big disappointment. He and Trevion Williams both.
Well, I just don't understand, Brian. Like, it's so weird. You will see a guy standing right in front of a player ready to tackle him, and they just run right past him.
Yeah.
And it's like, how did this happen?
You're poorly coached, and you're just not – you don't have great awareness.
You're right. Like, it's a mixture of both. I think it's the coaching and it's the talent. And I think getting better talent will help. But you can certainly tell, like, there's a long way to go for Coleman Hutzler too.
Yeah.
Like, he's trying to figure it out on the fly.
They were better
yesterday. I had no problems with the scheme that they had yesterday.
Do you know what yesterday was? Yesterday was just a less talented team playing the number one team in the nation.
Yeah.
You know, if they had lost, like we talked about, if they had lost like 58-7 or 65-7, something like that, then it's a different story, right? But a 1-3 team goes on the road to play the number one team in the nation. Yeah, losing 35-13 sounds about right to me. You know, I can't get too worked up about it. I just can't. Last one, and I just said it. The MSU team we saw yesterday, playing the way that they played, making a couple more plays offensively, making a couple more plays defensively, could win some games and surprise some people, right? That team we saw yesterday would definitely beat UMass. They would be in the game against A&M. They would be in the game against Arkansas. And then could possibly be in the game against Missouri. Ole Miss, I don't know what to make of Ole Miss right this second, because I know they still have a ton of talent, but they looked really bad yesterday.
And that thing could completely blow up. We don't know what's going to happen.
That feels like a fingers crossed kind of situation. But
no, I mean, like I think that's a plausible thing. I mean,
let's not talk about Ole Miss now. Let's just stick on state here.
Okay.
I'm just saying that, you know, last week I was like, man, they might go 1-11. You know, like legitimately looking at them saying, I don't know for sure that they are going to beat UMass. And now I look at them and go, man, if they play the way they played yesterday, they could find 4, maybe even 5 wins. They really could. So we'll see.
It just shows you, like, how quickly things can change in college football. It's
And the other thing it shows you, Robbie, is that you should never lock in to one thought. You should not say, this is how it is, and then stay with that the whole way until the end.
Yeah.
And then change your mind. When you get new information, you have to change your mind. And what I saw yesterday was a team that played better. The other thing I like, and this sort of goes back to what we were saying about Lebby a minute ago, the team still seems bought in.
Yeah.
They seem like they're playing hard, they're fired up, they're trying. You know, there's no quit. And we mentioned that on Friday. I said, you know, the play hard is kind of the bare minimum I expect from a college football team. But I'm getting that. I'm getting that they are playing hard, they're not quitting, they're trying. That's good news. That's good news for Mississippi State.
Well, that's why you get some of these younger guys on the field. Their season's already blown up, it's going to be very difficult for Mississippi State to get to 5 or 6 wins or whatever. But if your season's like already blown up, you might as well try to build for the future. And these young guys are excited. Their first thought isn't, you know, we're 1-4.
Right.
Like, their first thought is, oh, man, I get to go out on the field and play SEC football.
Yeah.
Because Michael Van Buren was playing high school football at this point last year.
Right.
And now he's playing at Texas and Georgia in his first two games. So it's like an opportunity deal. And, like, this could be something that's very positive for Mississippi State moving forward because you got next year you're going to be playing a schedule identical or maybe even tougher than this one, and you need some of these guys to have some experience, and they're getting that now.
Agreed with you. All right, very important point you just made there, Robbie. Let's talk about something else that's important.
Let's talk about something important. Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
Coffee is for Closers is brought to you by the good folks over at Strange Brew Coffee House. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Seneca.
That would be a little weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The O-line, no coffee for those guys. I mean, they just didn't get the job done. I could single one or two out, but let's just give it to, you know, you win as a team, you die as a team there. So no coffee for any of those guys. Just too many missed blocks, some penalties, just some inability to protect. They got a long way. That's a group that's going to look totally different, I think, again next season. Hopefully they can get some more talented guys in here.
It just shows you how important it is to have continuity up front.
Yeah.
Guys that, like, if you look at the best offensive lines out there, they've played together for two or three years.
That the offensive line is one place where going into the portal really doesn't help you.
Yeah.
That's where you really need to get guys and develop them. But you know, that can be difficult. So we'll see.
It's kind of going back to like the freshman thing. Let some of these younger guys get in there.
Yeah. Luke Work and Timothy Lewis.
It's hard to imagine it being much worse.
I agree with you. In the SEC, obviously, we're going to go with Auburn. They were in control of that game yesterday. And then there's a song in soccer. If you're a Chelsea fan or if you're an Arsenal fan, you sing it to Tottenham Hotspur. Because Tottenham Hotspur, they always find the most miraculous ways to lose. Mm-hmm. So the song goes, "It happened again. It happened again." And you sing it every time they do it, right? And so it happened again for Auburn.
It's like the opposite of Auburn Jesus.
Yes. Yes. Apparently it's Sooner Magic is what they call it. But a pick six when you're up five and all you got to do is run the clock out.
Oh.
Hugh Freeze, I think Borky tweeted yesterday, he may actually drive a bus over Peyton Thorne. He may get an actual bus.
But this is like this is all his fault.
Yes.
We've talked about this so many times. But like even last year we were talking about why did he stick to his guns with Peyton Thorne.
Yeah.
Makes no sense. He had the season that he had last year and immediately thought, you know what, I want to stick with this kid. He's going to help us win. And then doubled down on it when people asked him why he didn't go get a transfer portal quarterback.
The rumor coming out of Auburn was that Cam Ward wanted too much money. There was no amount he couldn't have paid them.
I don't believe that either, because Auburn's been freely spending.
Point. Yeah, that's my point.
They've just been freely spending for years.
There's no right there.
If they felt
no
like
way.
That guy could help them take them to the next level,
this Auburn team with it. Cam Ward would be undefeated.
Yeah, because I mean, really, the biggest thing is their defense is good enough. Their defense is solid. You know, their running game is solid. They got talented wide receivers. They don't got a quarterback. Neither one of those guys can play.
Yeah.
Nationally, this is the one year like I really feel like State could beat them. Like if they played them at home, like I feel like State could play
them. Beat them. I agree with that. Nationally, I wanted to go with the ACC refs. What they did Friday night was atrocious.
I didn't get to see that game.
If you haven't seen the end of the Virginia Tech Miami game, I don't know what to tell you. You need to go watch it because it's one of the craziest endings I've ever seen. But talk about somebody was too expensive for NIL, and it may have been a mistake. Locker room cancers, huh? He's averaging 8 yards a carry for Ohio State. The Ole Miss Rebels. Woo!
I bet you Lane Kiffin would get on his hands and knees to have Quinshon Judkins back at this point.
What? And the implosion that happens when they lose a game like this. Now they're like, we got to get away from this party in the SIP.
Yeah. We're gonna get that.
Why are we so excited about Kiffin's dog?
Why is there a kid with a fire extinguisher out there? Why do we have a basketball goal? No. Stick with your guns.
Stick with what brought you. Trolling aside, this is a true statement. Last year, Ole Miss found a way to win every close game.
Mm-hmm.
That had to regress to the mean at some point, right?
Yeah.
Last year, they could have lost to LSU. They could have lost to Arkansas. They could have lost to A&M. They could have lost to Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
They found a way to win all four games, to their credit. And that's why they had a great season.
Yep.
But those kind of things, when you're not Georgia, when you're not Alabama, who's number one in the nation, by the way, I loved one of my favorite parts of Saturday night when Alabama was up 28-0, were the tweets saying, was Saban holding Alabama back?
Oh, God.
I was dying reading those. It was so funny. But
boy, they almost blew that. But
what a great game. What a great game.
Instant classic.
But for Ole Miss, this is a true statement of what I'm going to tell you right here. And they're not guaranteed at 10-2. They're not guaranteed because you have to remember.
Well, the schedule's so bad.
You got to remember, the Big 12 champ and the ACC champ don't have to be in the top 12 to go. And then the group of five champ, the same way.
That's three.
That's three spots. So you got to be like ninth.
And you're going to have four other SEC teams in there, I think.
They can't lose another game but Georgia.
Yeah, that's it.
They cannot lose another game.
Yeah, I mean, well, you look at the schedule, and there's a very good chance they only play one more top 25 team outside of Georgia.
Oklahoma. Oklahoma's ranked right now, and they play.
Their schedule's tough.
Who does Oklahoma have this week?
They got Texas next week. They might have a bye with Texas.
They are off.
So them they and play Texas, Texas play next week. They're going to lose.
And then
that.
South Carolina. They should still be ranked when they play Ole Miss. So they have an opportunity.
But I mean, like, after whenever you get to the playoffs, there's just going to be tough
to find. But Oklahoma's defense is so physical. I don't know that.
Yeah, because I think what you saw yesterday is exactly, you know, what we've talked about with Ole Miss before is, like, you when you play a weak schedule that early, and you've done that for, like, for four
Danny
weeks,
Cannell
you face,
made, had a good rant about this.
You face no adversity. They face no adversity to that point. And then you play – Kentucky was a bad matchup for them because they played ball control, and they're very physical on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
And Ole Miss at times has struggled with the physicality of teams. Like, you know, if LSU plays real physical or Alabama and Georgia, you look at what they do on defense. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss's offense some years have struggled with the physicality. Yeah. And that's what – Kentucky always brings physicality. And I think that's what happened yesterday is they have not faced a team –
Yeah.
With that
I
kind of physicality.
We said that as like if somebody – Kentucky will punch you in the mouth. They're not afraid. So
– And also,
what's
I think –
killing me about that game is the way it started. Ole Miss just drives right down the field and scores, and you're like, oh, here we go. This is going to be a long day for Kentucky. And then they didn't score another touchdown until what? Late in the game?
That goes back to what I always say. Like, they always have a great
script. They have a great script is what
happens
after. Their
script out of the gates. And Lebby's been like that usually.
Sometimes. Yeah. Not this year.
Well, in most places, yeah. Yes. But – they come out of the gate strong, and then teams adjust.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's, you know.
That's it. Who can you readjust? Yeah, it's.
You know, Freeze and Matt Luke did that too.
I'll just tell you right now. Just tell you. They don't have any easy task in front of them this week with South Carolina.
No. That has been my dark horse game for them.
And watching the way Vandergriff, who's not a great runner, and of course they did that Wildcat package too with the other quarterback, but they had some success running with the quarterback. If Sellers is healthy, that's the best running quarterback in the SEC.
Yeah.
So, I mean, outside of Milroe.
They had to have a lot of things, like, they had to have a lot of things go against them, too. Like,
yeah.
Kentucky was really lucky in that game.
The other thing but is, Kentucky got a lot of pressure on Dart. What is that Stewart kid going to, that five-star freshman going to do? It's going to be an interesting
game. I think the biggest thing for Ole Miss right now that's going to be a problem for them down the stretch is the running game.
Yeah.
Because this has been a team, like, when they're at their best, they are running the football at will on you, and you know Henry Parrish is hurt. They're essentially, you know, their backup right now is a walk on, which is good for that kid. He's worked his butt off.
Mm-hmm.
But the running game is just like in Jeff Lebby's offense. It's essential. You have to be good in the running game. So
yeah,
that's gonna hurt him. That like all the guys they've pulled in outside
of Parrish.
I thought
Rashad Amos was good, but he doesn't even get to carry the ball.
Well, all those guys, it hadn't worked out for them. You know, they have two that are hurt.
We talked about it a lot yesterday, like with Bentley. Like, how is he not in the game? There's something else going on behind the scenes that we don't know about.
I think it's like
it's got to be an attitude thing.
Yeah, I think it is. So I'm pretty sure I saw him, like, on the kick return, but he did not run.
I think he played late in the game or something, but I don't know.
But, yeah, and this is the thing. Like, one of the things I said about this team is – I think they're either going. It's either going to be boom or bust for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're either
trending
gonna hit,
bust.
They're going to hit, and they're going to go to the playoff. They're going to win a game in the playoff or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's going to be they take a couple of losses and things just start crumbling within that locker room with all the NIL they're throwing around, all the transfer portal players.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing it with Florida State. Florida State's has completely blown up in their face. I still don't think they could have been the guy.
If Ole Miss hadn't been my choice, Florida State probably would. I mean, they're 1-4.
Yeah.
They got blown out last night.
But it's why, like, I don't think that you can rely solely on the transfer portal.
Yeah.
I think it's worked for Lane Kiffin for the most part, but I don't think it's something that works around college football. Like, I think that's kind of the outlier that Lane Kiffin's been able to make it work to this point.
Right.
I don't think – and Jeff Lebby is not a fan of that style either. He wants to kind of plug and play.
I think most coaches aren't a fan of that style.
Yeah,
they want to use the high school ranking, yeah. And then the portal is where you fill holes.
I think I think you look at now this is totally different because of the resources they have, but the best teams in football, that the best programs in football consistently, Alabama, Georgia, you know, Tennessee's trending up to that point, Ohio State, they kind of promote players from within. They recruit out of the high school ranks. They're able to do that, though, with the resources they have. But what I'm saying is, like, they're not going out there and clearing their roster mm-hmm. and replacing the players every year with transfer portal players.
Right.
I think the best formula is you're developing your players underneath, and you're mixing in some really good transfer portal players to go with it. I think that's the way to go, because this is you know, playing with fire a little bit. I know.
All right, tomorrow's show. There is no press conference for Jeff Lebby tomorrow, so we'll just talk. We will we'll talk about some other stuff. We also have MSU women's soccer coach James Armstrong join us tomorrow. We'll have an interview with him, so we'll talk about what's going on over there on the pitch. They've got a big game Sunday night, so we'll see if they can remain undefeated in SEC play. Guys, have a great Monday. Back with you on Tuesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Mississippi Media Production.